Kovos Halvavos, here for women, Wednesday. It's Zion Tammuz, June 20-something, 3rd, 2nd, whatever. 24, okay. 7 Tammuz. And June 24, and I don't have the paper that says what number shear it is, so Shara Vodas Alokim.
We're in Perek Dalet, and he's going through 10 levels of the way people believe in the Torah, believe in Hashem, believe in the Torah, believe in the importance of keeping Torah, the consequences of not keeping Torah, the consequences of yes keeping Torah. And we explained already why it's good to know, it's important to know these 10 levels. So the first level, people who are not holding by anything, because most of the world today, they don't want to believe in anything is spiritual, they don't want to believe in Hashem, because they want to be free to do whatever they want. Second level is maybe people that believe in Hashem and believe there were miracles, but they don't think the Torah is from Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu made it up, and Hashem thought it was a great idea. It's a very nice society, and that's it. It doesn't have any spiritual connection to it. It's a good way to live. Certainly no schar, no onesh, no olam haba, no ruchnius. The third, and again, sometimes when you're talking to people, we will soon see in Chag Halavos, trying to get them to climb one madrega. Don't try to do two madregas at once. Good to go to one madriga at a time, like a ladder. Don't try to skip a step. That's what he's going to say. We'll learn it today. Then. The third level is that it's from Hashem, but there's no Olam Haba. It's a way to live in Olam Hazeh. You're listening to Hashem, but there's no Sahar Onesh. It is spiritual. It has a spiritual dimension to it. And there are people that think this way. I mean, I don't know if they really think this way or if they're kidding themselves. Themselves reform, conservative movement. It's a spiritual thing, but you're free to reject it or accept it as you wish. The fourth level, he says, is you believe there's Olam Hazeh, there's Olam Haba, and there is a reward, but the motivation for doing it is the advantages, the benefits that it gives you in this world. It gives you benefits, it's a good way to live. So it's spiritual. But Olam Haba is not on his radar screen. And this probably fits more people than we'd like to think. Olam Haba is not on his radar screen. He believes in it. If you would ask him, he'd say, yeah, Father. But it's not on his radar screen. What's on his radar screen is that it gives him benefits in this world. It's very similar to the next madriga, which is number 5. But in number 5, it's just more of a subtlety. His flaw, FLAW, is more of a subtlety. That's why it's a higher madreka. And if you think of, I say most people are probably holding a number 4, not the people in this room, but people who are from, I'm talking about from people. Number 5 is even more subtle, where it's spiritual and there's Olam Haba, and you care about Olam Haba, but your motivation is also. Chavzalos calls it Shituf Hanistar. Your motivation is people should think highly of you. That's what keeps you going. People should hold of you. Now, you might cover it up in terms of, I got to marry off my children. You might cover it up by, my kids have to get into a yeshiva. You might cover it up with other cheshbonos that sound like you're being pragmatic and practical. And it's not a good way to think. That's the entire Shari Yichud HaMais is devoted to that. Of course, the exception would be with the Torah. It tells you to care about what people think. Yisam the Kiyam Hashem of Yisrael. Don't let people be Choshe B'Ksherim. So sometimes that's... But that's, again, you're doing Hashem's will. Hashem wants you to care about what people think. That's rare. It doesn't happen too often. And it's a problem. I would recommend the Chazal Pabas recommends against doing it in any event. It's certainly dangerous to do if it makes you violate your principles. If you would rather if you feel, use a woman as an example, I said, you know, you feel you would wear a mitpachas rather than a shetel, or vice versa, but you don't want people to think of you in a certain way, but you really hold whichever one you've chosen is more tzanua, so then it's really there, because then you're allowing that motivation, which is a contradiction to Shari Yichud HaMaisa. The whole Shari Yichud HaMaisa is do everything you do because it's the will of Hashem, not where it puts you. Now, but this is already more of a subtlety than number four, because it's very subtle. Everything's good, but you know, you like the idea that people hold of you. You wouldn't be so motivated. You don't daven at home the same way as you daven in shul. You don't do a chesed if no one's looking. You don't, you know, do a lot of things. You know, when people are watching, we act differently. Okay, number six is already even more of a subtlety when you realize he's talking about someone that believes in Hashem, believes the Torah is divine, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, and he's doing it only L'man Shema, only because it's Hashem's will. So you say, whoa, how can we only be holding by number six? The answer is he's talking about someone that does it for the Schar of Olam, the Schar and Olam Hazeh. Number seven is he does it for the Schar and Olam Haba. Like we wish we would be that way. Right? Halavai, halavai, halavai. But it's not pure. He's talking about Dragus. I think the average person is mired in number four and five, where we believe in Olam Haba, and but our motivation is Olam Hazeh. Or number five, more of a subtlety, we believe in Olam Haba, and we even think of Olam Haba, and it's on our radar screen, but we're doing it because of, that's a big motivation, what people think of us. Number six is already, like, so pure, that halavai, but he's doing it for the Schar and Olam Hazeh. And number seven is, he's doing it for the Schar and Olam Haba. And number eight is you're doing it because of Yiras HaOnesh. Numbers 6, 7, 8 sound terrible. I would say to us it sounds terrible. It's wonderful. It's beyond 4 and 5. You've grown past. So in a subtle way, you say you're not doing it for yourself. That's what's wrong with it. You're not doing it through. But you know. Number five was, you're doing it so that people should think of you. It's like, you're mixing in yourself to the picture. And number six, seven, and eight, you're really doing it with Lana Shem, but, you know, Yiras HaOnesh is a wonderful thing. Halavai, according to the Rambam, many Rishonim described the mitzvah of Yira, which was one of the mitzvahs to me, as Yiras HaOnesh. That's 6, 7, and 8. Number 9 will start inside. We'll learn inside. Number 9 is already, whoa. Like, we're in Perik Dalet. Bamadrega had the Shias. Their intention, their kavona, when they serve Hashem, is Hashem only. Not even Schar Ma'onesh. Wow. Can you imagine someone such a madrega? Ella, so what's their problem? Why are they number 9, not number 10? What are you going to do already? He says a very deep thought. He says they're perfect. They're perfect. But they're not careful about the things that will make them slip. Elishalom Nishmaru is very deep, very deep. He says their flaw is that they're not careful. If you know, if you want to say it's a sharm, there's always, Jesus Christ always does it also. And so it's more bold. Sticks out more. Like, oh, Perik, devoted to what makes you lose this madrega. You reach this madrega, you have it. You have to know the HR. You have to know if you are lazy, then you can end up doing this. If you are not there are things, whether it's you're too caught up in your work, you're too busy, you're too anything. There's a list. Every nida, the Chazal Olos devotes a perek in every shahr. What ruins this? What ruins bitachon is a perek at the end of shahr ha-bitachon. What makes, what tears the bitachon that you've so, that you've struggled for, and that you were konev, what makes you lose it? And here he makes a whole category out of it. Number nine, of people who don't take the time to think, what can I do to safeguard the madrega I've reached? So on this room, that I'm careful, you must see the avodos, the nichsa to heads that are laying, lo ikiru me'ayin, and they don't know what hit them. So you say, what are we talking about here? But we come across it in Chumash, and we learn it all the time with Rashi. Korach. What was the flaw in Korach's character? He had a character flaw, and that led to the most terrible of things. What was his character flaw? He was jealous, or he was a Valgaiva. You know, there's different. He was a Valgaiva because he was so rich, or his wife, you know, riled him up, or he was jealous on his own, emotional abandon. Came home, his wife said, hey, Baldy, look what Moshe Rabbeinu did to you. Baldy. And he said, talk to him nicely. But that's what she did. She said, hey, Baldy. My wife said that to me. I don't have the excuse of having the taglacha salavim.
But he was a tzaddik also.
Well, you got to be careful with the word tzaddik. He was a koifer. Whether he really was a koifer or he...
Tzaddik had tamar yitzvah.
Listen... Drop these medrashim, Mrs. Brownski, and don't say that Korach is a tzaddik. Say he was a rasha and a kofar and a terrible person. Don't, you know.
I listen to Asa,
he listens to too many shiurim. Asa was a tzaddik. You know, everybody's a tzaddik. Rav Menavot was a tzaddik. Asa was a tzaddik. Everybody's a tzaddik. Do you want to emulate him? No. So that's it. That's what we care about. The Chaim Chavovitz is also saying, this is exactly the Chaim Chavovitz's point. Korach was brought down, he was a big person, he was brought down to the lowest of Madragas, where his name is dirt, for all he, you know, in Klal Yisrael, because of a flaw. The flaw had nothing to do with what he did. Yerovam ben Nevat, Chazal tell us, who ended up causing Churban Beis Hamikdash, causing the Golos, splitting Klal Yisrael in two. The symbol of Chotei Amachti is a rabbi. He was a great person, right? Ani Atol Hashem tells him we're going to take a walk in Gan Eden, me, you, and David HaMelech. So what brought him down?
He wanted
to be first. That's a character flaw. This is what the Chavis HaLovis is talking about. If you don't work on your character flaw, these are the things that can make you, you don't pay attention to things that could bring you down. I really didn't talk about that. I said, open the Chaim Salvavus, and he devotes a chapter, as does the Mesulah Sesharim, to things that could make you lose what you've achieved. They're not talking about you. In other words, what I'm saying now, well, let me backtrack a little. When they write a chapter about what makes you lose the madrega you have, they talk about direct cause and effect, so to speak. Meaning, if you're lazy, if you don't review what you've learned, if you are not careful, you know, so that's like the normal things that make you lose the madrega you're on. This, you start slipping, and then you think it's not so terrible. That's what they write. But there's what I just said now, which maybe I shouldn't have said, is really a deeper subtlety, where a person can do everything right and have a character flaw that's really disconnected from what he... There's no direct link between being a Balgaiva and doing what Korach did. But because he didn't work on it, this is also included in what the Chavis HaLovis is warning us against. The first thing he's including is what's a perek in every single shahr, and what the Mesillas Yesharim devotes a perek on every single level. These are the things that, like I talked about in Shabbos, Leah Shabbos, you know, what makes you not keep your Zahirus. So he has a list of three things. If you're too busy, if you're there so you don't think, if you get caught up in Leitzanus, so that disconnects the Seichel, and then the other third thing. So that's direct links, and is in every Madrega of the Mesillas Yesharim, in every Shahr of the Chavis HaLovis, there's a perek devoted to what makes you lose it. But those are direct links. What I said now is more of a subtlety. That we find very big people in Tanakh, and we're supposed to learn from this, that were brought down because of character flaws. So that's coming out of left field, like, whoa, boom! It was about your other benefit was also brought down because of covet, right? Because of covet. And that led to the worst things. So your other benefit, Doeg and Achitofel, we have people who are ostensibly big people, potentially big people. They were big people, but they were brought down by character flaws. So this is that would also be included in what the Chavis HaLovis is talking about. That you don't pay attention to what could bring you down. Domal Mashenemar, and this is like the pasuk in Tehillah, Zuvei Mogas, like dead flies. Yavish Yabiyah Shem Rokeach. They could ruin the most alluring oil. Yakor Mechachma Mikavol Sichlus Maat. It outweighs wisdom. It outweighs honor. It's all the same. Whether it's selfishness, or arrogance, or jealousy, or you're bearing a grudge against someone, you can't stand that he became the Rebbe, and you wanted the job. You don't even, you're jealous of him. So it brings you down. You start a cloak gets stuck, and then you can end up, this happens, you see people, it happens, they're brought down because they, if I would have to guess a percentage, I would say that 50% is because they feel they're not getting the recognition they deserve. It's Korach, or Menavot, or people. This is a big motivator. It's more of a motivator than money. Covet is a tremendous motivator. I mean, that's linked with gaiva, with jealousy, jealous of other people. It's all linked to that character, the same character. For Omar v'chot yechad yabei tov harbei, one chet could ruin everything. For Omar k'tzasa chasidu v'talmidov, ilu lehoi lechem avonos, he's talking specifically about gaiva here, so I guess he is not talking about what I thought was the more correct shot, what he devotes a parrot to in every shahr, how to avoid losing the madrega. Because he himself now is going to talk about gaiva, which is not a direct link. So he's talking about that character flaw which can bring you down. And listen what this pious person said, this Talmid. Ilu lahayu lachem avonos, you know, any afraid. You don't have any sense. Ayizu b'fachad aleichem, I'm nervous. I fear for you. I fear for your spirituality. Mimashu hu gadol min averus. Something worse than sins. Amrlo. How gadol min averus. What's worse than sins? Omar hagavos. Gaiva. Now, okay, you say the gaiva is a goof as a sin. But that's not his point is, you do it, you're doing all the Taryag Mitzvahs, you're keeping everything, you're even learning all day. If a man or a woman can be involved in Chesed, the guy who's going to bring you down, like you brought down, you think it can't happen to you? It happened to Korach. This was a Browski is made on Korach, he was a good person, and still it brought him down. And you're over a minute, you're talking about really, really big people. But the guy who brought them down, so what are we supposed to say? And happens all the time. A guy is going through life and he's doing fine, and then someone gets more covered than him. It was crazy.
What about Acher? What was his?
Acher's hard to know. There's a story that his father, that his Torah was taught with Shalom Lishma, but then there's another story that he was reading things and involved in things that are should have been involved in.
And his bris, there was a fire.
Yeah, that's the story. That the Shalom Lishma angle, Acher's apostle. We only have two stories about Acher that can give us a hint. One is the story that says with Shalom Lishma. And for some reason, the Shema Dov, Shema didn't work. It could be because I would say it has to be that that's your ultimate goal. It's not your ultimate goal. It's not going to work. And the second story is told that when he would get up to learn, you know, sometimes the Rebbe goes over to the fourth grader and he picks up his chumash and the comic book falls down. So they did that to Acher, and what fell down was he was smart in philosophy or maybe romance novels. I don't remember what he said, something like that. That he was involved in something of those things. That's all we're told. You know, you have big people that went off as a story in Turkey Gardens, that someone became a stooky after 80 years of being the Kohen Gadol. We're not told what happened. We don't know what happened. We don't know. Not always do we know. But the figures in Tanakh, the stories are, you know, and then people think, yeah, that wouldn't happen to me. It's a joke. It happens every single day. People ruin their lives because they're jealous, because they want a little more money, because they're envious, because they feel they're not getting proper recognition. That'll kill you. That'll kill you. So I was going to Stein, my son, this just on Monday. That's the whole story of that. You know, I said a story. But in the course of the conversation, I didn't think we'd have so much time with him. I thought we would have like 10 seconds. But I must say, the person that put us in, we had all the time in the world. I mean, we didn't need all the time in the world. We didn't just sit there schmoozing with him. But we did. So at one point in the conversation, we were talking about not having money. So he said, we saw Samantha used to say that people don't buy. People don't buy because of lack of money. No, that's it. That's what he said. The sentence is over.
What was the sentence?
That's I can't. It's too complicated. One day I'll tell it over. Because it's a complicated. It's not a simple yes or no answer. But. He said over this word, people are more motivated by covet than money. Yeah. Look, Usher was one of the three richest people that ever lived. We read the Gilgamesh Esther. What led to Haman's downfall?
He had everything.
He didn't hate Jews. He wasn't an anti-Semite. He became an anti-Semite. Why did he become an anti-Semite? Because Mordechai wouldn't bow down to him. I'm not trying to whitewash Haman. What do you say about home? Okay. There are, I'm sorry for teasing you, there are Medrashim and Zohars about Korach, but it's not practical. It doesn't teach us anything. What are we supposed to learn from that? That you could argue with Moshe Rabbeinu and still be a good person. That you could be a kofar in Torah. It doesn't teach us anything. It's just like the rabbi doesn't have a Medrasha to say. So he'll have to say that, and he'll say it over, and people say, whoa, wow, what does it teach you? You understand what I mean? It doesn't teach you anything. What does it teach you? That it's okay to be like Korach, that it's not so bad. It doesn't teach you. I don't see the point in something that doesn't teach you anything. It's just like Medrash Pliya. You know? Anyway, so Korach, so Haman also. If you go to Nach, the bad people, when Achav killed Nevoyos to get his vineyard, his wife taunted him. His wife said, yeah, you think you're a big melech? You can't even get his vineyard. Believe me, it happens every day. People who are good people, they learn. and someone else beats them out for a job, they're seething with jealousy, they're seething with resentment, they're seething with lack of recognition, and then they start doing stupid things. Anyway, look what this chassid said. This is an apocryphal story that Chayyus HaLoz says. He says, even if you would be free of sin, I would still be nervous about your ruchnius because of the trait of gaiva. Okay, and it could be a grudge, linked, gaiva, kavod, jealousy. It's all linked. Okay. Now we're up to the 10th Madrega, because you ladies are waiting to read about the Madrega that you are on. Madrega, I'm serious, the 10th Madrega, there's nothing wrong, no flaw. Anoshim is barred from Abitos HaTorah, the truth of the Torah is clear, it's godly, Hashem gave it to us. They're aware of the Schar V'Onish that's involved. We're going up the ladder. They're aware of that. Venis Oru Mihasal Musa. See, that takes care of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Venis Oru Mihasal Musa was reading number 9. They are awake from lack of awareness. Right? They're on top of things. They're on top of their midos. They're on top of the things that can make them lose. Veroa Libam. And now he describes what, according to the Chazal Vavas, is the ultimate in Avoda. They feel thankful to Hashem. You can have that on the second, on the third Madrega too, on the second Madrega too. You know, once you believe in Hashem, you're already on the second Madrega. But now he's at the top. See, one thing, their motivation is Akoras Atom. The Chatalolos means what he says. It's not a trick. He holds that your Avodas Hashem has to be thank you. He can't say it often enough. He's on the 10th Madrega, where the person is like the doing it mamish lishma, because Hashem wants it. I want to do Hashem's will. But the motivate, the essence of what he's doing is recognition, recognition of everything Hashem does for, did for him, does for him. Gratitude. This is my way of thanking you, Hashem. This is on the highest madrega. You want, this is what it is. This is it. This is how the Lord wants us to live. On the highest madrega, we can do this. We should do this. Look what he says. For raw liba mashayavu labori, the gold of tuba v'chaskal aleya. Right? We have food on the table. I mean, it's limitless. If you had to make a list of things we're thankful for, right? You go back to Shara Bechina. Have to thank Hashem for your nose. Have to thank Hashem. So they're aware of Hashem's kindness. And they're not thinking about it. That's not their motivation. Achmir, because they have to see. You know, if it sounds impossible, I want to tell you, the Chayyus HaLoz, besides holding what he said, and besides being correct, he's also brilliant. A person could say to themselves, this is too high a dream for me. I am aware of Olam HaPo, I'm aware of Gehenna. Like, you want me to do things because Hashem wants me to do it. That is, like, come on. Impossible. I can't. So you know why you could? This is like, it's brilliant, but he's not just saying it because it's brilliant. He's saying it because it's true. If you think of it as a thank you, you'll be able to do it. You see, when you say thank you to someone, when you buy someone a present, I bought my sister a present because she put up my son for 3 years. Yeah, it wasn't like, so she should hold him. He was a schar and onus. Like, when you feel compelled to show gratitude, then you don't have a problem. So this is like a brilliant insight. It's a brilliant mahalach. Because anybody would say, I just can't do it. It's just too hard. How in the world am I supposed to do things purely lishma and not even think of Olam Haba and not even think of Gehenna as my motivator? Not even think of, like, come on. You know why? Because you have to thank Hashem for everything He gave you. You have to thank Hashem for being alive. You have to thank Hashem for being Jewish. You have to thank Hashem. You owe Him your existence, the fact that you're a human, the fact that you're a Jew, the fact that you're a woman, the fact that you go to Mitzvah Tzitzis Chayes on Lo Lashir, the fact that you live in Eretz Yisrael, the fact that your spleen works, it's limitless. I want you to understand the when you feel, just take, do what the Chayes on Lo Lashir does. Take an example from everyday life in this world between two people. When you feel you want to say thank you, you don't have to worry about Shabbat Lishma, unless you really don't feel gratitude. Then you want to say, no, I'm saying thank you so that you should buy me a birthday present next year too. If I don't say thank you, I'm not going to get, you could think that, but that means you're not really grateful. So you have to learn Shara Bechina and become grateful, and this is not just brilliant. I want to share this with you. If you are really grateful, that's why he brings it in here. If you are truly, really grateful, and you do, Hashem says, here's how you thank me. I don't want to thank you. I don't want a note, a flowery stationery. I want you to make a bracha before you eat an apple. That's all you do. I want you to not talk lashon hara. That's my thank you. How could, you know, I'll do anything. Like, you gave me existence. You created me. All right? When you do that, Lo Lishma doesn't enter. It's like no entrance, no admittance, because you want to say thank you. It's like you want to express your gratitude. You have a debt of gratitude. You want to express it. So this is really what Shara Avodah Elokim is all about. He starts off with this. This is the psicha of Shara Avodah Elokim. And this is what he's saying now on the 10th Madrega. Because that's the trick. It's almost a trick, except that he also holds it's true, and he also holds that's our whole lives. But it's also a trick. How to reach such a madrega? Now, if we reach it once a month, it's motivated. But that's it. If I think that whatever I do is a thank you, then that's really, oh, it's like, that's all that's meant for the picture. Also, because they know him, they know Hashem, they want to express their gratitude. This is the highest level of people who are loyal to the Torah. They reach this madrega and they live their whole lives on this madrega. Nobody ever thinks of it like it's not successive. When you think of Moshe Rabbeinu, well, Yohan Novi, all the Nevi'im, Tzadikim, Tanon, Hiram, Vilnagal, you know, we don't think that they were saying thank you to Hashem. You know, think of it. But according to the Chayyim HaLogos, they absolutely were. Because that's how you have to serve Hashem. In thank you mode, in gratitude mode. L'chorsu imo bris. They made a bris with Hashem. That's like l'chorsu imo a bris. L'socharu imo. And they made business deals with Hashem. You know, I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you my neshama. I'm giving you my everything because it really belongs to you. So, okay, the loshon socharu imo would sound like they're doing it because they're going to get something from it. Oh, my God. But he can't mean that, because on this madrega there's no such thing.
He does an exchange with them, conducted an exchange.
Well, I can't be responsible for it. It means that literally, but we know that he can't mean an exchange for schar, because he's on the 10th madrega, and schar is on the 8th madrega. Right? So we know it can't mean that. But so the socharu means they make a deal with Hashem, they trade. I think it just means they give Hashem their life, they give Hashem their work, they give Hashem their we're giving it to Hashem. Because, you see, the beauty of the Hakara Satova is that everything you're doing is because of what Hashem did for you in the past. You're not anticipating a reward. You're not anticipating what he's going to do for you tomorrow. You're not focused on what he's going to do for you. You're focused on what he already did for you. I am breathing. I am thinking. At this moment, there's like thousands of electrical impulses that are connecting my brain, or whatever's left of it, to my mouth. that it's forming words and thoughts and ideas, and without even my thinking about it, my voice is going up and down in rhythm to if I'm asking a question or saying an answer or expressing surprise or emphasizing something. I'm not even thinking about that. My body's doing that like on its own. And it's forming words, and it's forming consonants and vowels, and it stresses syllables. I'm not thinking. If I was thinking, I would like come. I would have to stop. It's too much for me. You know, I get a headache. So look at that. So this is really a major secret. When we worship Hashem in the world of the Chodesh Halavos, we're focused on the past, what He did for us. We're not trading in that sense. We're not trading because of what He's going to do for me tomorrow. We're trading because He did something for me yesterday. So I have to do something today back. That's the trade. I owe Him. I owe Him. I owe Him a debt of gratitude. His people all love, they accept everything Hashem does. V'nosnulo nafshosom v'neihem v'kinyonam v'omdu be'emunosom. They remain loyal to Hashem. When you're on this level, then you're really in Ha'ara HaTorahness, because you're following the Torah, but you're doing it with the Ha'ara Sichlis as the battery. Maybe there's more than these 10 mandragas. I'm not saying that's the last word, so it's the Chodesh Halavos. Many times he throws in humble sentences throughout the Sefer, he sprinkles them throughout. So listen, I'm not saying that this is the final word, like you can't add to these 10 mandragas. I'm not saying that. He did such a good job that no, I don't know if anybody that suggests another mandrake. So I want him to all Rav Hamon Ha'uma. I discuss him, it'll cover 80% of people. And now I want to finish the parak, but he says something very, very, very important. Also, by listing these 10 mandrakes, you'll say, well, this is not big. I'm not only with number 2, I'm not, certainly not only with number 10. But what do I have to know? The toelis is that I know I'm going to climb. I want to climb up the ladder. You can be sure, and maybe you have to work on it or think about it. I struggled in preparing for this year because you're obviously moving up. That means the flaws are more and more subtle. Sometimes they seem like a more blatant flaw, and it belongs lower on the ladder. But he's making a ladder. For who, and now he's telling you a benefit. Climb the ladder and don't skip steps. Go to the next madrega. If you think, if you're honest with yourself and say, you know, I'm only holding my number 4, don't try to do number 10 tomorrow. Don't even try to do number 6. Work on number 5. For who, maybe we should make a list. Maybe I should write it out in short, the 10 madregas. When you find a level that you're close to, meaning you're right below that, or that you're on, maybe he means, so he knows what's next. You start the lalos level. You can't jump, you have to go step by step. Like Yaakov Avinu's dream, you see a ladder, life is a ladder. The Chavin Avoda says it here, at the end of Perek Dalet, in Shara Vodas Elokim, but it's a rule in everything in Shara Bitachon. It's a rule in life. And this Yisod that he's saying, that life is a ladder. Don't skip a step or you're going to fall down. Be aware of how far you have to go, because this way you won't be lazy. You won't waste a year. You won't waste a month. You won't waste a week. Maybe you won't waste a day. Maybe you won't waste an hour. Maybe you won't waste a minute. You know, this is... I just got to get to that next... I can climb up one step. Let me work on one step for the next year. That's all. You don't have to do more. You don't have to feel like you're wasting your time. If If you could do one step a year, you know what? 10 years go by before you know it. Right? Before you know it, 10 years went by. And you up to number 10. Don't start with number 1. Jump to number 2 as quick as you can. Jump to number 3 as quick as you can. When you're dealing with Kiruv, then you should be aware. Even, I would say, if you meet someone on Madrega 1, which is 95% of the world nowadays, no one's religious, everyone's atheistic, everyone wants to get maximum hano out of this world, taivas, 95 to 97% of the world is on Madrega 1. If I was giving a Kiruv seminar, and I was basing it on this Chayvus Halvavus, I would say, don't try to jump to number 3. Let them reach number 2, where it's divinely inspired, and they still think it's man-made. Moshe Rabbeinu made it up. But Hashem exists, Hashem approved of it, Hashem gave it a stamp of approval, and it's a wonderful way to live. It's not just made for savages, like number 1 holds, and you know, it just gets in the way of my Hanoah, but Hashem approves of this. Hashem wants me to live this way. Moshe Rabbeinu made it up, because he was a very smart man, a great leader. That's what he said, that's number 2. Don't jump to number 3, where the Torah is divine, and it was given from Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. That's what he's saying here. Don't jump a step. But we don't have that Nisayon in levels 1, 2, and 3, hopefully. But we're probably stuck at number 4. How many people, don't answer me, could say that Olam HaBa's always on their radar? You know, we think, I'm doing mitzvahs, you know, and Hashem is pleased and Hashem is going to reward me. But we're not on our radar. Number 5 is already on our radar, but then this other problem. Anyway, that's why I'm listing these 10 things, he says, so that you should go up one step at a time. And that's doable. And also you'll know how far you have to go. You won't say, okay, I got time in my life, you know, I figure I got like 30 more years to live, so I could take it easy now. Can't take it easy, you gotta get up to number 10. He's listing it for 2 reasons, he says. One is, so you go up one level, and one is you'll know what's ahead of you, you know what madriga you have to reach. So he'll try to reach that highest madrega, madrega after madrega, one step at a time. And he'll be able to do it. So instead of reading number 10 and saying, oh man, you go, okay, where am I? Number 4, let me get to number 5. It'll take me 6 months, but I think I can do it. Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
Can't you say about the 10th level to ask the same question?